This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think Howie is programming the music around here today. All right, so before we get back to all your phone calls on the Myles Garrett situation, should the Eagles go all in to acquire, you know, what right now is the best defensive player in the NFL? Or, you know, I guess what, Surtain won the defensive player of the year, but this guy's been one of the best, if not, if I would rank the last 3 years, he's been top three every year. That's how good Myles Garrett is. I recognize that. I'd love to have him on the team. But it's not as simple as like, hey, just put him in the uniform. No, it's going to cost a lot. I'm not going all in. I would not give up multiple first-round picks for Myles Garrett, as great as he is, not at the age of 29 going on 30. But, Hugh, before we get back to all the phone calls here on Myles, let's give our interpretation of this quote. I got a quote here from Howie Roseman yesterday at the NFL Combine. And, Hugh, Kyle just played the patience song there. And this, it's kind of interesting the way Howie framed this. So I'm going to read it to you, and then you tell me what you make of it, okay? Mm-hmm. This was not recorded, so it's just a quote from Howie yesterday about the offseason to come, and he asks fans for patience. Quote, it may look different. Some of the moves that we may have to make here may not be what are necessarily on other people's minds. It's probably not going to look like maybe the conventional wisdom thinks it should look. I would just ask our fans to just have patience throughout the offseason. The offseason doesn't stop at free agency. The offseason doesn't stop in the draft. Hugh, when you see that, hear it, read it, what do you make of it?
Howie's basically saying, trust me, I got this. You know, this is not – because this is the thing with fans, and it happens all the time. We get caught up in the names, and we want to put Myles Garrett here and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And realistically, that might not happen because of the price that it's going to take to get him here. You know, and I know people don't understand that because, oh, you got the money, do it. Yeah. But sometimes you don't want to spend the money. When that money leaves the bank account, man, you're like, you know.
Well, and every dollar you spend today is dollar you can't spend tomorrow.
Yes, and you want sustainability. That's the thing. And the thing that we have benefited tremendously from as Eagles fans is the fact that our team has remained relevant for as long as they've remained relevant. Now, that might not be a Super Bowl championship every year. That might be a playoff appearance. That might be 12 to 13 wins. And I know for a lot of people, they might be yelling, damn it, Hugh, that's unacceptable. But would you rather be that or the Dallas Cowboys, who sat there at the meetings, at the combine, and said something about selective free agency or whatever like that? And aren't they losing the guard that they just paid a couple years ago? Like, think about that for a minute. The one thing that teams that have been able to be in this position that they do every year is stay relevant. And the Dallas Cowboys, they had a nice run in the 90s. And what's the big joke about them? The VHS? Hell, matter of fact, shout out to the lady that sent me Monica. She sent me a VHS. Like, you can get one for about $200.
How much?
$200.
Why would anyone spend that on a VHS?
I don't know.
All right, anyway.
I don't know, but it's because it's vintage. It's vintage.
I kind of feel the opposite way about the Cowboys' approach. I think the Cowboys' problem is that they don't take big swings in free agency, and they lock in on just drafting. And, you know, while they have standoffs with their own guys, they eventually end up paying their own guys, but they don't go out and make those huge moves in free agency.
Well, the bottom line is
they're stuck where they are.
They don't care how they got there, Kyle. They're irrelevant. And that's the point.
But it matters how they got there.
But Kyle, they're irrelevant, and the Eagles aren't. And the Eagles do,
because we do things differently.
Eagles do things that help them stay relevant. They don't make the big moves all the time.
Well, no, they don't. They have
AJ Brown, Saquon.
Okay,
they make big moves.
They're talking about big moves.
Do.
Kyle.
But when the moment is right, not every big move.
Stop using the Saquon Barkley one.
Why?
Saquon
that's
got
the
more
best
money.
Comp.
Saquon Barkley could have got more money going somewhere else.
That's
it wasn't
the
about.
Point. Saquon wants to win. It's that's the same thing Garrett was.
It was free agency.
No, I understand that. But why do we think Myles Garrett's doing this right now?
Because he's trying to get paid.
Because he saw what happened with Saquon Barkley last season.
Sure, that's fine. But again, if he was a free agent, go get him. He's going to cost, I think, multiple first-round picks. So that's a little bit different. So my read on the quote was, next week or 2 weeks from now, right? 2 weeks from today.
Kyle really wants Saquon. I mean, Mark, he really wants Miles.
Is that a crime?
I'm not saying the best defensive player in the
league?
I appreciate your passion. I don't want to give up a whole
I'm
lot.
Just so
2 weeks from my read on Howie's quote was, 2 weeks from today, 2 weeks from today, I think he's preparing us for three or four of these guys to sign elsewhere on day one of free agency.
And, Josh Sweat gone.
Yeah, and
I can
us,
tell you that right now.
And us probably not to sign anyone or maybe just one of them. I think that was his way of saying, like, day one, it could get ugly.
Yeah.
But just give me some time.
That was my read on it.
Josh Sweat gone. I can tell you that for a fact. Josh Sweat gone.
Yeah, sounds like we're about to have some holes to fill on that.
They certainly are, and maybe Myles Garrett fills them. We shall see. Let me give you one quick comp, and then
you know what? Before you do that, I just love the fact that we're 1 week removed from a parade, and we're this passionate about this team.
That's you don't want Myles Garrett? You're a moron.
Well, didn't we talk about Dynasty after we won the Super Bowl?
I'm not complaining.
No,
I'm glad he said it.
I love it. I just think it's funny.
I'm glad you said Dynasty. Earlier, you didn't want to hear my Chiefs comparison because you said we're the Eagles. Fine. But if I could pick any franchise for the Eagles to act like for the next 10 years, forget the Chiefs. We hate them anyway. It's the Patriots. And the Patriots won back-to-back once. For the next 10 years, they didn't win back-to-back, but they went to the playoffs, like you saying, every year.
Relevant.
They won their division almost every year, and then they got the Super Bowl in 2014. They won one in 16. They won one in 18 because they just kept going back. And part of what they did was...
Relevant.
Joe Banner gets dinged for the 30-year-old thing. Belichick did it all the time. Richard Seymour, see ya. Ty Law, see ya. Lawyer Malloy, see ya. And they kept... Like, would the Patriots ever trade two ones for a 30-something?
Well, hold on.
No.
They went out and got Randy Moss, and they almost had an undefeated season.
I think they traded a fourth-round pick for him because he was a distressed asset at that point.
Yeah, because he was a Raider.
Yeah.
He was a Raider, and he was out of there.
But the biggest move that the Patriots have ever made in the offseason could have propelled them to be an undefeated team, the only one the NFL's ever seen.
Right, and I'm good with getting great players. Like, A.J. Brown was a great trade. He was 24 years old. I'm not into the trading two ones for a soon-to-be 30-year-old. Let's go to Lou. Who's up next on WIP? What's up, Lou?
What's up, guys?
Hey, Lou.
Hey, you, Joe, 100%. Here's the thing. First, I don't know how Andrew Berry still has a job after giving Deshaun Watson $230 million guarantee. That's one. But two, with Myles Garrett, you can't just, you know, gloss over the fact that it's two first-round picks, right? Because someone's going to pay more than the Eagles because the Eagles are going to be picking 32 again next year. And... it's not just the picks. It's Zach Bond. It's future, free agents next year. It's probably all four of the guys we talked about probably won't be back because you're going to have to pay them, what, $35 million a year, maybe?
Gripperton.
$25 million a year right now?
Well, and then, Lou, even moving forward, like 2 years from now, there's a chance, and we'll see how these guys progress, but there's a chance 2 years from now, if you get Garrett, you have Garrett at 40 a year, you have Jalen Carter at 35 a year, Quinyon Mitchell at 30 a year, and, I mean, I don't know how good Cooper DeJean's going to become, but he's not going to be cheap either if he's as good as we think he could be. So, like, how do you have depth if you have that many players making that much money on the same defense? It's hard.
Yeah, I think we need to bring back Bond because when we won the Super Bowl and went to the Super Bowl the last three times, we had good linebacker play. We didn't have a lot of holes or any holes on those 3 years. So that's where I'm at. And the one thing about the draft picks, Kyle, is you can't just say, well, they got a good second-round pick this year, so they'll just be able to get first-round talent in the second and third round, moving forward. It doesn't work
well,
like
but
that.
You can't have the
hubris that you're just like great at drafting.
But
like,
I could spin the same thing on you on you guys who are saying we don't need Myles Garrett. We'll just draft good players again. It's the same hubris.
No. The more assets you have, the more likely you'll get good players.
Well, so Lou, you said pick 32, and we'll probably be picking 32 next year. First of all, if we don't get Myles Garrett, I would push back on the fact that we're picking 32 next year. One, you get Myles Garrett, you're far and away the Super Bowl favorite next season. Two, if we're talking about giving away the 32nd pick in the draft 2 years in a row, that's not that rich. It just isn't.
Well, it's Nolan Smith from last year, maybe, or you know, a Cooper DeJean in that range. You know, you don't know. That's what I'm saying is you just good teams accumulate the draft picks. And then they don't go out and spend ungodly amounts of money on guys that are 30 and above. And Myles Garrett is a great player. And I'm saying all this, like you guys just said, if they went out and got him, I'd be super excited for next year, because we better win the Super Bowl next year if they get him, because the subsequent years, that likelihood of us winning the Super Bowl goes down. And you have Hurts, you have the entire offense, you know, being paid over the next 3 years, your defense is going to be hurt if he's not getting 15, 16 sacks a year for the next 3 years. So I don't see him doing this just because last time he did this in 2018, he was like, yeah, we kind of pushed all our chips all in, and then we kind of fell apart. And then you know what happened in 2020, which actually was a godsend because we got Jalen Hurts out of that draft.
Yeah, and so, it let them reset everything. Yeah, it actually, and Lou, that's a good point. It was. And Lou, we appreciate the phone call. I think part of this is, and again, I could be wrong. I'm basing it more on history than I am I don't have a crystal ball.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if you tell me Myles Garrett holds his performance for the next 4 years, like he's still this good for the next 4 years, mm-hmm. then it is probably worth it.
Yeah.
But it's hard for me to believe that a player, and again, I think it's interesting because you maybe didn't have as long of arms, but you live this. You know what it's like to play that kind of position and what it does to your body. I find it hard to imagine. He's got 3 years of great play left, 4 years. Maybe he's got one, probably. But I think he's going to start to decline, and then it's like, what did we pay for here?
Yeah, but he, like, a lot of the pressure that he's probably going to be under, Jalen Carter's probably going to take a little bit off. Listen, I sound like I'm talking myself.
I'm not. I'm going to lose him.
No, because listen, at the end of the day, for me, it's about how much is it going to cost me. How much money am I going to have to move out of my bank account? Which I'm going to tell you flat out, I do not like spending large amounts of money.
Hugh would be the GM that would refuse to pay any player. You want to raise out.
Man, no, I'm just, you know, I mean, I know I can't be the only one, but I notice when large amounts of money leave my bank account, like, in a flurry, like all at once, and it's for stuff that you need, but still, it's still uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'd be uncomfortable.
I just feel like what Lou said.
Two first-round draft picks?
to the 32nd overall pick.
So, like, that was a little hubris.
No, I understand that. But, like, so I just feel like we contradict ourselves a little bit when we say invest in these young guys. But then all of a sudden, if we get Myles Garrett, because we're missing two first-round picks, then we're in trouble 3 years later. I mean, why can't we just draft well again? Like we're assuming that we can without getting Myles Garrett.
We can. But, so let's say 2 years from now, or a year from now, like 2026, Myles Garrett's here. He's diminishing a little bit. He gets hurt. And because we don't have that first-round pick we could have spent on the next Nolan Smith, we go into a playoff game. Myles is banged up, and they're double-teaming Jalen Carter, and we don't have the six other guys to rotate in. Like, you start losing depth every time you get up a draft pick.
Not only that, this is how, like, it might not be looked at it like this way now, but it used to be looked this way. You get a guy like Myles Garrett when you're one player away from going to the Super Bowl. We've been to the Super Bowl. We dominated in the Super Bowl.
Without that kind of guy.
See, I feel like next year, if we don't get Myles Garrett, we could be looking at this as though we were just one guy from the Super Bowl.
You know what? Let me tell you what's going to end up happening. Because I feel, this, since I said that, this is how I feel this is going to go. Myles Garrett's going to the Commodores.
I tend to agree with you.
He's going to the Commodores. And he's going to get a ton of money.
And then we're in trouble.
No, what do you mean?
What do I mean? We want Myles Garrett playing us two times a year on the team that just won 12 games and beat us last year?
Didn't Myles Garrett play with us? And I know it's going to be a different team. Did we play against him this year?
Well, against the Browns.
What did he do?
Hugh, we just saw the Commanders in the NFC Championship game. These aren't apples to apples here.
I'm just saying, what'd he do? He's a phenomenal player. I'm not taking that away from you.
Hugh, do you understand what he would do to the Commanders?
I understand what he's going to do to the Commanders, but still.
Full 10.
But the point that I'm trying to make is, he's a difference maker, but I'm not afraid of Myles Garrett. I'm not going to lose no sleep because Myles Garrett went to the Commodores.
Crazy. I think Hugh brings up something interesting. I tend to agree with you that if not here, if I had to guess, like if you said, Joe, guess where he goes, I would guess the Commanders, right? They seem like the need, the money, the moment.
He moves the meter.
He could go to the Lions, too.
That's a problem, too. I would say this. If the Commanders get him, they are way more likely to upset the Eagles
next year,
to take the division, to get to the Super Bowl. But I also think if the Eagles do what they do well, the Commanders' run, if they make this trade, might get cut short. They might have 2 years where they're right there with the Eagles, and then 2 years from now, when Myles Garrett starts falling off like Von Miller did, then the Eagles are back to running the division. I'm thinking big picture on this.
It's a chess match, man. It's a chess match. No question about it.
It's not like you don't trade Myles Garrett for drafting young players. Like, we can do both of those things. We can build this roster out with good players in later rounds. Like, we're going to get comp picks back from Milton Williams, Josh Sweat. There are going to be opportunities to add to this team. And Howie told you, it's not just free agency. It's not just that. Like, there's so many ways that we're going to be able to build this roster up. We got Zach Bond on a cheap 1 year contract in free agency. Like, getting Myles Garrett doesn't end that for you.
It doesn't, but it's your biggest chips you're giving away. I mean, that'd be your first round picks. Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
Jeff.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Jeff. What are you feeling?
Well, Hugh, I would go with the 70 Chevelle myself. I like that one a little bit better just because it had double headlights.
I think I probably got them mixed up. Because I think my dad had a 71, so I wanted – it's either or.
Yeah. I was in a 70 when I was 11 years old. A friend of the family was helping us on the farm, and we left my house to go to the farmhouse, and he lit them up. And my mom never let me ride with him again.
Yeah, my dad used to have one, man. Awesome. He had a green one, and I remember the foot pedal. It had like the foot.
Yeah.
And it had a snake on the back. It was his work car. I just remember that. That's what I want. Yeah. Definitely want that.
Yep. All right. So that's where it ends with me and you, Hugh. I want Myles Garrett. Here's the thing. So if Joe Banner over there wants to get rid of everyone that's 30 years old, Brandon Graham worked out pretty good. Even Jason Peters, although he was stealing money, he worked out pretty good for us.
No, I don't want to get rid of them all. I'm just not paying huge money and trading first-round picks for them.
Well, you're trading, and it's been said before, you're trading low first-round picks, like 30, 31, 32. So I don't see that as big of a risk as if we were, like, in the top 10 first-round picks. And I trust Howie now more than ever with the draft because he has been pretty good here in the last 3 or 4 years to fill out those other spots because we're going to lose Sweat. We're probably going to lose Milton Williams. I hope we don't lose Bond, but BG's, I don't know if BG's going to play again next year or not, but you know, he was effective this year when he played, but I think that money could be better spent somewhere else on a guy like Myles Garrett.
Well, it could be. I'm being painted as an ageist here. I'm not Joe Banner. I'm not an ageist.
You did put out that edict last year.
Well, I did. Yeah, that was
that's damning.
So, but all right, let me give you an example. Like Khalil Mack's a free agent. He could hit the open market here, right? He has a relationship with Fangio from Chicago. If they lose Josh Sweat and they bring Khalil Mack in for a year, I'm cool with that. He's still got all the stuff left in the tank. Like I'm just not trading and paying 30-year-olds tons of money and tons of draft picks. Like that's where I draw the line. It's not that I wouldn't take an older player. You're right. Brandon Graham has lasted way past his 30th birthday. It's just how much they're worth.
If we want to stay on top, I would even up the ante just a little bit, just so that the Commanders or the Lions don't get him.
See that part. That part, Jeff, is really interesting.
So you're being petty.
No, I think it's a good point.
I got a Super Bowl victory. I got a Super Bowl victory in my pocket, and I want to continue that.
Yeah, I feel you.
And I'm peacocking a little bit now with my money. That's what I would be doing.
So, Jeff, I think it's a really that part of it. And Jeff, we appreciate that part of it. I think is going to give the Eagles the most pause. Like if it was Myles Garrett here or, I don't know, like the Chargers.
That's something to think about. Does he strengthen your opponent, your direct opponent?
Of course he does.
Yeah, right. So if he was going somewhere in the AFC, I think the Eagles would be like, yeah, it's nice, but whatever.
Yeah.
But if he's ending up with, I mean, you can make a case right now the two teams that are going to be the biggest challenges to the Eagles next year are the Lions and the Commanders.
Yeah.
So he could very well end up one of them. And that, I mean, I think that's going to keep the Eagles involved in the discussions, even if for nothing else, just to make the price harder for those teams.
And so, by the way, because someone reminded me of this, when you asked what he did when he was with the Browns, he only blocked a field goal that was returned for a touchdown that made that game a lot closer than it should have been.
Did he get a sack, though?
I don't remember.
But, I mean...
No, because when I think of... No, I'm not trying to play semantics, I promise you. When I think of him, I just think of him putting pressure on the quarterback. Yeah. Now, that's a significant play, no question about it.
At the end of the day, the point is he's an impact player.
No, yeah, you're right.
And to say he didn't do anything against us in one game when he was with the Browns doesn't...
No, I'm not. That's not what I was trying to say.
Zero sacks in that game, for the record, just for the record.
I mean, Saquon's had bad games against us with the Giants before he came here.
See, there you go, using that comparison. Well, let me
make the comparison again, because we did this last year.
Actually, you want to hear it one more time?
I'm going to double down on it, because when we saw Saquon with the Giants, we're like, yeah, he's a good player, but the Eagles already have a good run game. How much better is Saquon going to make this run game? And then we found out that he broke the Eagles' rushing record. He broke the winners' rushing record, and he took us to the Super Bowl.
I don't think anybody said that.
Yes, they did.
No, I
well, Joe Giants did. Fan. Well, that's Joe don't count as everybody, bro.
No, I'm on my own. On my own, crazy.
He don't count as everybody.
Hold on, a lot of people thought what I thought.
No, but I'm saying he said everybody. I didn't think that way. You're not everybody. You're somebody.
I actually think the point on the players Kyle makes is fair, but it was $13 million in free agency. Guards make 20. That's where I misread it. Like, he was so cheap considering where the league was. Like, why not? Right? The running back market went too far one way. The Eagles were smart, and they said, okay, he could be really good here. It's worth $13 million.
It's the going rate, though.
For
the impact that they add.
Yeah,
and Garrett adds a bigger impact.
But this is potentially two first-round picks, and then whatever his next contract is, which I would guess is $40 million a year. Just that's a lot.
One more quick thing. Mm. If Myles Garrett, and I find your answer to the question very interesting, say Myles Garrett at this age was in this NFL draft, where would he be drafted?
At this age?
At 29, 30?
He wouldn't be drafted that high. At 29?
But would he go higher than 32, you think?
Well, sure.
Okay. So we're talking, look, 32 is late, man.
29-year-old Duke.
I think knowing what impact he adds to your team.
They do that with the NIL now. Some of these guys are staying like 10 years.
I think the sure thing of how well you know he can play would make him would put his stock very high in this draft.
It's a fun spin. The only difference is the 32nd pick in the draft makes like $5 million. This guy's going to make 40.
But likely adds way less of a significant impact to your team than Myles Garrett would this year. And I'm looking for impact. I want to win the Super Bowl again.
I think the biggest difference between the people that are all in versus those that are not is how much
money.
Well, how much you truly want to go back-to-back versus you want to have a longer-term thing. Because if the only goal is to go back-to-back, then I understand the Myles Garrett people.
Not one or the other, though, necessarily.
No, but one, I do think, and that's just the way I feel, that I do think trading for and extending Myles Garrett would make the Eagles more of a favorite to win next year, but it would hurt their chances to be great year in, year out for the next 5 years. That's the way I view it. 215-592-9494. Are you all in for Myles Garrett? I'm not. I know a lot of people are. He's a great football player.
Hell of a football player.
Yeah, I mean, if he was here, people would buy those jerseys and love him in 10 seconds. I can't trade two ones.
It's a lot of money, Joe.
And the $40-plus million a year. I can't do it. I don't think it's worth it, especially on a team that just showed depth in the pass rush is how they won a Super Bowl, not one great guy off the edge. I mean, halfway through the year, we worried about the edge rush, and then they had all these guys getting sacks in the Super Bowl. 215-592-9494, your phone calls. And Nick Sirianni spoke yesterday. I think it's my favorite Nick Sirianni press conference of all time. I loved what he said yesterday. Feeling good as a Sirianni guy these days. I liked hearing what Nick said yesterday. It made me feel good about the tush push stuff. I'll let you hear that. And he gave his answer about the coordinator search. Like, was it really a search? Did they interview people? You'll hear from Nick Sirianni next from the Combine and his responses yesterday. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Elliot Shore is going to join us live from Indianapolis coming up at noon. We got a Clearwater check-in next hour.
Hey!
Yeah, and I've got some big questions about what's going on with the Phillies lineup and what Topper's doing and maybe what he doesn't want to do, but he has to do. We'll get to all that coming up. This segment brought to you by Monarchy. When you step on your brakes, do you hear a squeal or grinding? Take your car to your locally owned and operated Monarchy. Find a location near you at Monarchy.com. All right, yesterday, we know how he spoke, and Andrew Berry spoke, and all the GMs spoke, and there was a lot of talk yesterday and today about this Myles Garrett situation. I don't want to go all in to get him. Kyle desperately does. Hugh, I could tell, wants Myles Garrett, but he's got a back away price here on Myles Garrett. We'll get back to your phone calls. First, though, let's listen to Nick Sirianni yesterday. It was my favorite Nick Sirianni press conference I ever heard. I love what he had to say, especially
the passion.
Yeah, he had passion. I liked what I heard yesterday. But first, he was asked a question I needed the answer to, which was, how did they arrive at Kevin Pitullo? Was there a search? Because it felt like there really wasn't a search. Sirianni said, well, there was. And he did interview some people before settling on Pitullo. Here is Sirianni yesterday.
Yeah, we went through an extensive interview process for, you know, that position and the other positions that we're looking to fill. That's such an important piece to make sure. Like, it's such a good opportunity to sit and talk about coaching and kind of, you know, hear other people's thoughts. You know, I picked Kevin out of the people that we interviewed because thought he was the best man for the job, first and foremost. And also, I think that when you look at a good organizations, you know, in college football, professional football, you know, continuity is very, very important. And we were able to have a guy in-house that is so ready to do the job that he's going to be asked to do. And we were able to keep continuity for Jalen. We were able to keep continuity for the receivers, AJ and Devontae, the offensive line, the offensive staff.
So, Hugh, I took two things out of that. One, he obviously thought Pitullo was ready, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's been with him a long time. He's been his pass game coordinator. But the second thing is he went to that continuity thing that they – and this brings me back to, remember, Jalen last year.
Talked about continuity.
Yeah, and now it's not the same play caller, but it's a guy that he's been here.
He's familiar with.
Yeah.
And not only that, he made it clear that he talked about how Kevin called certain plays in certain situations. He let him call the play, so he was just trying to get him comfortable. That's what I was trying to tell people last week, that when you make these decisions and with a guy that's been in the building, he probably had more input as the season progressed because they knew – that Coach Gruber was going to leave. So they gave him more chances to be more involved in it so that they could gauge how he does and you know, how he handles certain situations. And not only that, to help Jalen feel comfortable, because Jalen made that a big deal last year. Remember when he talked about how he wasn't comfortable and you know, he hadn't had continuity?
Yep.
So that was important to Coach to have somebody in there. And I'm pretty sure that some point Coach Pitullo said, hey, man, you know, it's looking like I might get this job. How do you feel about that? And they talked about it. There was a lot of growth within this organization right before our eyes as the season progressed. It really, really was.
Yeah, I think you're also right about the Moore thing. That, like, I always think things in the NFL or any sport, we learn about them like a few weeks after the people that actually know about them.
Mm-hmm.
They probably had a good sense that there were teams out there that thought Kellen Moore was ready and maybe he'd get a job if they did well this year, and obviously he did. All right, then Sirianni, he got really passionate here because I think he's – there was a – I like how strong he was on this, but
– I don't give a shit.
Yeah, but he wasn't – I didn't think he came off annoyed. I just think he came off, like, frustrated at what this conversation is in Indianapolis about the tush push. Here's Sirianni talking about the tush push, and he actually used the word insulted at the reaction this week at the Combine.
I think I've seen some of the stuff, like, well, you know, that it's an automatic play or, you know, that it's not a – we work really, really – you know, I almost feel a little insulted because we work so hard at that play. The amount of things that we've looked into how to coach that play, the fundamentals, is always – there's 1,000 plays out there, but it comes down to how you teach the fundamentals and how the players go through and do with the fundamentals. I can't tell you how many times we practice the snap, we practice the play, because it's not a play that it's easy to practice. There's different ways we figured out how to practice it. The compliments that come off of it that can create explosive plays. You know, Again, we saw it in big time games this year, and the fact that it's an automatic thing, that like we work really, really hard and our guys are talented at this play, and so it's a little insulting to say it's just be, you know, we're good at it, so it's automatic. We work really hard at it, and you see it throughout the league. I mean, we saw it in the championship games that, you know, a team failed at it and ultimately didn't end up winning the game because of it.
I like that he said that. He should feel insulted. I mean, like, the league is trying to take away a play that is not illegal, that people are not getting hurt on at a significant level just because they can't do it. You know, the way it was framed yesterday with the automatic, it does. People are talking about it like the old extra point. Like, you just roll out there like any kicker could just make a 20-yarder. Yeah. No, other teams have tried the tush-push you, and they don't do it as well.
No, you know, I thought of a few things. I thought about a song, Knuck If You Buck by the Crime Mob. Because I think that's what happened last night when they were at the bar. And he saw Sean McDermott, and he probably shot him an ice grill. He's right. And to me, that's what it is. And I talked about this with Pasha yesterday, how it's a man whoop a man. And you tried to diminish it. I'm still surprised that Coach McDermott sat there with a straight face. Because I saw the video. I went home and I watched the video. Because I like to see people's facial expressions to see if they really believe what they're saying.
Yeah.
I was perplexed because he said it with a straight face, but at the same time, they ran it like 12 times to success this year. And he said, in the part that I, you know, certain words I get stuck on, and he said he's concerned about the player's safeties.
Mm.
But you made your players do it.
Over and over.
You know what it reminds me of? It's like somebody, when you say somebody, why do you like him? Why, he's not that great or something like that. Like, they're jealousy. That's the point that I'm trying to make. Jealous. Jealous because you do something better than everybody else. Coach Bowles summed it up perfectly. He said, in this game, we're always trying to gain an edge. We're always trying to gain an edge in the NFL. They've gained an edge. Now it's us as defensive coordinators to go out there and try to gain an edge to stop it. That's what the NFL is all about. Every year, the runners, you remember back in the day, it used to be 4 yards in a cloud of dust?
Oh, yeah.
Then they started throwing the football. Then they went to the run and shoot, the fun and gun, all the mother, what, Air Coryell and that, all that, to change the game, to evolve the game.
There's an ebb and flow. Yeah.
So this is the ebb and flow of the NFL. We got something that you can't stop, that a lot of teams are trying to emulate. Hell, the Green Bay Packers. It did, think about it like this. The two people that's hating the most, the two people that got the most to say, are the two teams that tried to do it. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, it's ironic.
Like, seriously, that is the epitome. When the kids say, why are you hating on me? That's hating right there. That is strictly hating. You couldn't do it. So since you couldn't do it, now you're just going to try to ban it.
So I the other thing I thought of is Sirianni probably feels a point of pride. Like, this is
you got something that nobody else can do?
Yes. And I also think, like, if I was Nick, and the reality is he doesn't call the plays, right? He's not the mastermind like other coaches are looked at, like the, but this is something his team implemented, and it's really good, and it helps them win. Like, I'd feel pride in it too. And I actually saw a video yesterday that the Colts, when he was there, would take Rivers off the field, the 1 year Rivers was their quarterback, mm-hmm. and put Brissett in, and they did a little tush-push. Like, Sirianni's been...
he's been a part of this for a while.
Yeah, I don't know if you could say he invented it, but, like, he's crafted this, and it's worked with multiple quarterbacks. Obviously, works great with Jalen. He also went into detail on why it doesn't even make any sense what anyone's saying, and why the injury stuff is, unless there's real data that no one else is telling us about, it's just baloney.
Yeah, I think when you look at that, because we've looked into that too, there wasn't a lot of injuries there. I think that's a little made up, to be honest.
He called him a liar.
Now the numbers will tell the truth, but I don't think there was many injuries with it this year. I can't remember one injury we had on that play, and we ran it more than everybody else. Yeah, the injury numbers, the league will have that. And the injury numbers will come out on that, and I'm all for player safety and for that. But I don't think that play, I think that's just something that was said, but I don't think the numbers on that play suggest that. But you guys can look into that.
That was a long way of saying get your facts straight and
get back
to me.
Well, they called him a liar.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. Coach McDermott's a smart man. And you knew, like, the irony of all of that, and I hate to harp on it, but it's just something that sticks in my mind when I think about this conversation, is that you sat there and talked about injuries and putting players at risk, and you did it. You did that. You did exactly that. And did it, like, you've had a couple of missteps in your career, you know, that you said things that I'm just like, wow. You know, that's one of them.
Oh, you're talking about Sean?
Yeah, Coach. Yeah, we got to go into detail.
No, Sean had a couple of those. How about he probably should work on beating the Chiefs instead of stop talking as much.
Yeah, do that, man. Do that. And, you know, Coach Reed, it's a competitive play, man, that if you want to beat it, stop it. Stop it.
Salute to Coach Bowles for actually being the to say the truth, which is like, we got to figure it out.
Let me tell you, it's going to be interesting to see how Troy comes down on this.
Well, they need votes, though. I mean, they would need 24 votes to change the rule.
I'm just saying, I would. Troy's different.
You think that would mean Troy would consider changing it?
Troy's different.
Okay. Keep that in mind as the competition committee gets their hands on this one. All right, 215-592-9494. Back to your phone calls. You can comment on Howie, on Nick from yesterday. And, of course, Myles Garrett, should the Eagles go all in to acquire the great pass rusher from the Cleveland Browns? Will is in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Oh, Dream Team, how y'all doing today?
Hey, Will.
Hey, man, that was some cowardly lion thing that Green Bay did, man. Mm-hmm. That's what, they're going to have a terrible season for that. Because you know why? That showed they're a bunch of wusses, and they can't figure it out.
It's a nice
way
of saying.
You know, they're going to have a terrible season. So, anyway, I'm going to go and say, I totally agree with you and Hugh, man, with the Miles Davis.
Miles Davis. Would you trade two ones? Yeah, two ones for Miles Davis?
I keep doing that, man. But, Miles Garrett, listen, he's a great player, man. Probably one of the best in the NFL. But, like, as far as what we got, you know, I would rather y'all just re-sign a couple of the key players, like Cooper, Milton, and Bond. Like, we could keep them guys. They already bonding together, you know, and just like, you know, how we do, man. Let them go ahead and shake the dice and bring in some more players, right? But we keep forgetting about N'Kobe Dean. What about N'Kobe?
What about him?
I mean, like, that's still a defensive good player that we have.
Oh, no, I thought you were about to say something else. No, he's a good player.
You mean we're kind of forgetting about him, thinking about next year's defense. Well, the issue, Will, right, is he's coming off an injury. I don't know if he's going to be ready to start the season. I heard a clip of him yesterday talking about apparently when he got hurt, his kneecap was like in his thigh. I mean, unfortunately, his injuries have been so many. I hope he comes back strong and plays the way he did this year, because he was very good this year, Will. He was very good.
Right. Yeah, very good. But like I said, man, I think we could use that money. If we, you know, just like y'all been saying earlier in the season, I mean, earlier this year, you know, Saquon, he's going to need help, man. We just need another big back, you know, to take off some of the slack from Saquon. We're going to need to bring in some other players, you know what I mean, just to keep everything good, you know what I mean? And I think Howie is the best to do it. And, you know, even with these guys that's maybe leaving, I think he's going to negotiate a good contract with them and take care of them on the back end, hopefully.
Well, hopefully. Well, the goal is, and Will, we appreciate it, to keep as many good players as possible at the good rate. Like Howie said something yesterday here where he wants to see all these guys do well, but at the same time, he's got a big picture to handle, right? Like he roots for them to get money, but he's got to save dollars. That's why his job's tough.
That's why he's as good as he is at what he does. Because he makes the tough decisions. And not only that, man, they have a good organization, because you saw a couple times, guys came back for less money.
Yep.
Because they wanted to be here. Sweat, Slay, they wanted to be here. So they have a product where, you know, people want to be a part of it, because it's different. I tell you what, man, I tell you from my experience way back when, it's different going to other places. It really, really is. It's a lot different.
Well, I mean, you see it with the guy we're talking about today, in large part, Myles Garrett, right? Like, he's a great player who's trying to get out of it. When was the last time, I guess, Wentz, and that had gone so bad? When was the last time, and he wasn't even good then, but when was the last time a good player wanted out of here, Right, you know what I mean? Like most
out of here,
right?
Oh.
Almost never.
No,
it means the opposite of other places.
Because like Wentz, but he was terrible.
He sucked.
Time.
Yeah, I mean, like
no, Wentz feelings was hurt though. That was more of a pride.
And he sucked that year.
Yeah, he did. But his pride was hurt.
The audacity for him to be the one that wanted to ask out.
I remember looking at his numbers when the trade request happened. I'm like, who are you to ask for a trade?
Who is you supposed to be?
How did you get a first for that, man?
Howie.
You guys want to doubt? This man can fit Garrett in here.
Well, also, Frank Reich had a weird obsession with Wentz. What the heck was he trading a first-round pick for Carson Wentz for? That was a disaster. Larry in Philadelphia. Hey, Larry.
Hey, man.
Hey, Larry.
Joe and Hugh.
Mm-hmm.
Why y'all being plant-based, man?
Plant-based?
Larry, what?
Why
like, see, this... Wait a minute, Larry.
Well, I am plant-based. So
I understand you're trying to go on with the personal tax, but what have we said that does not make sense to you this whole day? We've been on this air for 2 whole hours. What did we say logically that you did not get?
No, I get everything you're saying. I do. But to add Myles Garrett to this defense that we have, it's not only a statement, but, you know, like you said, Myles Garrett is 30. He's getting up in age, right? For him to be on the Cleveland Browns all those years, knowing that, you know, they're not going to go anywhere, and we get Saquon, and then he sees what Saquon does, like, well, I want that. Like, I'm up there in age. I want a Super Bowl. Like, you know, if they can do that with him, like, I'm one of the top dudes in the NFL alongside that defense. Why not want to come up? Why not go get him and make that happen?
Because it costs too much. How much are you willing to give up to get him?
He got 2 years left on his contract. I get that. I understand that 100%. But if you can get him a sensitive, like, all right, look, you give me 9 sacks, you come over here, you 9 sacks, we'll give you a couple dollars for that. Along with paying you a 2 year contract.
See, Larry,
he
this
wants
is where,
40 million
see,
a year,
see,
Larry.
See, this is where
those 2 years while he's here. He's liable to win the Super Bowl.
Larry,
we're liable to go to the extra Super Bowl within the next 2 years.
In the next 2 years, we're liable to win with the guys that we have because we did it this year.
But it's not as likely.
But like,
it's not.
So basically, we're saying that Myles Garrett wins us the Super Bowl. That's what we're saying.
That's not what I said at all. No, I said it's more likely.
So, Larry, I understand your point. I understand your point.
No, I don't understand this point.
Well, I do. He thinks the next couple of years, we get something while he's here, and then if he declines, he declines. We get another Super Bowl. But
how much is that going to cost you, Larry? How much are you willing to pay for that? What is the price tag that you're willing to pay?
I find it interesting how we're...
Larry's gone.
I'm just saying. I just don't understand.
We're ready to lower the bar on Myles Garrett's decline here if we win. Like, if the Eagles trade 2 first-round picks and give Myles Garrett $40 million a year in extension, and he only has 9 sacks... It's a disaster.
They just got
8 sacks out of Josh Sweat after making him take a pay cut.
So, all right.
You don't need to do this to get 9 sacks out of an edge rusher.
Hugh's going
to
be mad at me, but I'm about to make the Saquon comp again. If Saquon fell off a cliff next season, would we say that getting him was worth it?
Yes. But you only gave up $13 million
in cap room. Because even if we traded 2 first-round picks and we won the Super Bowl this year, and then he fell off, we would still say it's worth it.
But Kyle,
not me.
But let me tell you the difference between that and Myles Garrett. There's a good chance that Saquon is going to fall off because he carried the ball 500 times this year, and I know that. That's why I'm so adamant about going out and getting another running back because I know that the likelihood of him not being the guy that he was this year, he's still going to be a good back. He's not going to be the guy he was last year is highly likely.
So wouldn't we apply the same logic to getting more edge rushers because we don't know if it's as likely that they'll be able to replicate what they did last year?
No, that's where I keep saying you can't use the same argument because my argument for that is this. I'm not willing – I'm getting production from the guys that I have. It's not the same as Myles Garrett. He's a hell of a player. He's a Hall of Fame player. But I'm getting the same production from the guys that I have, but you're asking me to pay more.
But you're about to lose two of those guys.
Yeah, but I'm also going into a situation where I'll have the opportunity to go draft some young guys that I'm going to have control for 5 years.
I'm making a declaration right now. We go into next season with Jalix Hunt, Nolan Smith, and a rookie – on the edge, we're screwed.
Bryce
we're not winning the Super Bowl.
Here. Without see, Kyle,
see, that's, oh, but that's not going to help anybody. Don't.
Let's not get stuck on that Bryce Huff thing. I just
you brought it up.
But still, we have some young guys here, and I believe in this coaching staff and their tutelage. Where they're gonna be okay.
So but they're not miracle workers.
No, but
they're not miracle. Kyle, seriously? Did they not work a miracle this year?
Okay, but the thought that they're going to just be able to do it again next year with another rookie isn't like...
Did you think they were going to do it this year?
That's the point, is that it's not like this was crazy to happen. This was an outlier. This doesn't happen.
This is not an outlier. This is good coaching.
You know what? But I understand Kyle's point that if we lose all this and don't replace it, then next year is going to be tougher. But like, I think there's a way where you have what they have with Nolan and Jalix. I'm not even including Bryce Huff. They could sign a Khalil.
Not include him.
They could sign a Khalil Mack for a 2-year deal and keep the two first round picks, and they end up just as good.
All right, but we're talking about Garrett being cooked. What's Khalil Mack going
to
be?
But I'm only signing him for, I don't know what he's going to get, 2 years, $35 million.
But the variance in what production we could get from Khalil Mack is way larger than Myles Garrett.
But
Myles Garrett's floor this year is
like, pick.
Screw the first round pick.
Stop.
Kyle is not about that young
person. I'm so sick of the first round pick crap. It's number 32. He's basically a second round pick anyway.
That's what Nolan Smith was.
Awesome.
He was the best pass rusher.
Get another Nolan Smith
in the
second round.
Smith was the best pass rusher on a Super Bowl champion.
And you know what? We're going to have another second round pick where we can get a Nolan Smith.
Like, the thing we all want is another Super Bowl championship. The guy that was the best pass rusher on a Super Bowl champion came from that pick.
Right.
So that could happen again.
That's a good point.
No, but I think the point is that's a little more far-fetched to expect than a perennial all-pro player coming in and helping you win the Super Bowl. That is basic math right there. I know we're not good at math on the show, but that's true.
Why is it until now?
This is what you said about Saquon last year.
Saquon was better than he ever was before he got
why
here.
Why did it always get personal?
And only one of us recognized that.
Seriously?
Football guy. Over here. I like how we ignore every other data point because Saquon was good.
All the other data points don't count.
Saquon was great.
I want him. You're an idiot.
How about this data point? Myles Garrett is the best defensive player in the league.
Has been. We'll see if he
Why is he just not going to be if you come and you're playing next to Jalen Carter at age 30?
Yeah. Well, he might be
this
next
is
year.
Crazy.
He might
see,
be
I'm
next
not,
year.
I'm not
Do you think he will be in 3 years?
Dude, if Myles Garrett goes.
Do you think he'll be the best defensive player in the league in 3 years? I would say almost zero.
Okay, but what if we win the Super Bowl next year, and then we go to the championship the year after that? Who cares about the third year?
I do. 215. That year always arrives. We always do this as sports fans. Unless you don't plan on being on Earth, you're going to watch the Eagles in 3 years. And you'll complain about him then if he stinks.
No, that's not necessarily the case, because what we can do is, what you guys said...
We won't complain.
No, hold on. Because what you guys said, we have great coaching. We can get young players. Garrett doesn't make that. Garrett doesn't end that for you.
I know,
we can do it anyway.
215-592-9494.
Gotta have something to work with, though.
That's true. Elliot Shurpar is going to join us next from the Combine. The latest on Zach Bond's market. Is he the priority? What could he cost for the Eagles? Elliot and I disagree on how much Bond's going to get. I think this is going to be higher than we expect.
Oh, yeah, he's about to get paid.
We'll see if the Eagles are willing to pay him. 215-592-9494. For all your calls on Garrett, the Eagles, free agency, and Elliot next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.